Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles 29. I wrote down in my Bible. Who are you with? Azariah or Hezekiah? Azariah, he turned his back on the Lord. You know, I think about generations. And if y'all don't realize that the generations of what happened with Israel is it was split in two. And because of Solomon, Rehoboam made a bad choice, and then Israel got split in 10 northern tribes. They had their own king. And Israel went into apostasy right away. They went, the 10 northern tribes, they went into apostasy right away, man. I got to go up there, and Dan, I got to go up to Dan, and I seen where the Jeroboam set up, where the calf was, and he sat on the throne there. And he was worried about losing the people going back to Jerusalem. And that's why he set up a calf. And he said, and then he set up one up in Bethel and one in Dan. And he wanted Israel to stay with them because he was afraid if they went back down there, they would go back towards David and the throne of Judah. And he was scared to death of it. So when you read your Bible, you read through there and you find, you know, Israel did this, Israel did that, and then Judah did that. And you think, what in the world? I remember when I first got saved and I started reading my Bible, I thought, what in the world is it talking about? I mean, here's this one, you know, one time this guy's doing good, this king, and then this guy's doing bad within the same chapter. And I didn't understand it until a little bit later. I started reading through there and I started getting it. I started understanding. But, you know, Judah stayed right with God more than Israel ever could have thought of. I'm talking about the 10 northern tribes. Judah and Benjamin stayed right with the Lord. And you had Uzziah back there. You had Jotham. And Jotham came along, and then Azariah. And in chapter 28, look at chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles. Azariah was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And notice it says he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He made also molten images for Balaam. So this guy, Azariah, he comes along, but he had a godly heritage. This guy had a godly heritage from back a couple of generations back. He goes back to Uzziah. You remember, and you read your Bible in Isaiah chapter 6, where he says, Isaiah said, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Uzziah made one mistake, and it cost him basically his life. He goes into the temple and tries to offer incense to God. And that wasn't his place. He got so lifted up, he thought, hey, I can do whatever I want to do. I can do whatever I want to do, and God's going to like it or lump it. Guess what God did? God lumped it. And Uzziah became a leper. And the Bible says he was a leper from then on. And then he has a son, comes along, he comes along, and Jotham, and he does, you know, it does not a lot about him. But then he was 25 years old when it began to reign. And then goes down to Azariah, look at chapter 28, and back to 28, and it says, moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Look at that thing. This guy, I mean, he had a godly heritage. I mean, he had all this, but he decided, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to plow my own pathway, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And he starts following the kings of Israel for some reason. And we got generation after generation. America, my generation was a wicked generation. The generation of World War II, which my dad would be, and my dad was probably, he goes back into another generation because my father was born 1908. He was born 1908. You think about that. Maybe the World War I generation or somewhere in there. But my dad had me at his old age. But I was following in my father's footsteps. I was following his footsteps. I mean, he taught me how to steal, taught me how to drink, taught me how to a bunch of stuff, and I was following his footsteps. And some of these kings went on, they followed in their father's footsteps, which was doing right, living right, and doing what's right. So Azariah comes along, he said, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to live the way I want. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'll live the way I want. I'm the king. So he ends up bringing Israel very low. And look at how low he takes them. And the Bible says, and the reason I'm saying that, you got young people in here, and you become 18, 19, 20 years old, get out on your own, do your thing. You go out and say, well, I'm just going to live where I want. No, mom and dad ain't around. Tell me what to do. Nobody's going over me. I'm going to live where I want to do. And you're going to end up making a stinking mess out of your life. You'll ruin your stinking life. That's what you'll do. You say, how do you know? I just know. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. And people end up reaping. You know what they do? They end up blaming God, the church. They blame the preacher. They blame everybody for their faults. You know, I went to see a young man that went to prison out of this church. He was in prison. I went to see him, and he started telling me, making all kinds of excuses. He started telling me, I'm sitting across from him in a window between us. He started telling me, oh, it was this so-and-so, and so-and-so did this, and so-and-so. I said, wait a minute, stop. I said, remember I told you about my brother? I said, my brother blamed everybody but himself. I said, you know what? He can never get right, never get help until he recognized it was me. And until you recognize it's you, and you say, God, I don't want to walk in the pathway of my family. I remember I got saved. I said, Lord, I prayed. I said, God, I don't want to be like my father, even though I love my dad. But we got a young man right now that's out of the ministry. He was in the ministry and everything. But you know what? His father decided he was going to, and we ordained his daddy. His father decided the Bible wasn't true anymore, and because he was running around messing with pornography. He was messing with pornography, and he was doing all that stuff. And then he decided his wife wasn't good enough, so he left his wife and started running around with other women and all that stuff. And then he told his son. His son told me one day in my garage, he said, preacher, pray for me because my dad's my hero. And he just told me all this stuff. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's messed up my mind. You know, Joe's talking about his son, 25 years old. He tried to put as much Bible in him as he could. And those kids are watching, and they're going to follow in the footsteps. You know, sometimes whether they want to or not, but if a kid just going to coast through life, that's what usually they do. They end up following their wickedness, the father's footsteps. And I said, remember I told you that? I told that young man in the prison. I said, you remember I told you about my brother? I said, a guy can never get help until he admits. That's why you got to pray and ask God to forgive your sin. What you're doing is saying, God, I'm wrong. You're right. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord now, you ain't going to have it when you get on your own. If you don't have a relationship reading your Bible, praying, and talking to God, even now confessing your sins, there was a movement going on around this church. A couple of guys got in it. And you know what? Every one of them guys got messed up. Every one of them. Every one of those guys. There was a movement saying you didn't have to confess your sins anymore once you're saved. And I told them that's out of hell. And that'll ruin your life. And every one of those guys, you know what? I remember Doc used to say this, I'm an old dog. Now I can say it. I'm an old dog. I've been around a long time. I've been seeing things. And I've seen where people make a mess out of their life. I've been here 30-some years. I've seen it over and over again. And where people make a mess out of their life. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord on a daily basis, confessing your sins and saying, God, cleanse me, and reading your Bible and fellowship with God, you ain't going to make it, man. You'll wake up when you're about 50 years old and go, what in the world did I do? God, have mercy. I knew the truth. I had the truth. And the Bible says, don't sell the truth. Don't sell it out. Don't sell out what you got, but you've been taught. But most people raised in Christian, a Bible-believing church, Christian home, they just can't wait to get out to do their thing. Go out to the, oh, man, when I get my license, I'll be 18. When I get my, I can go out and do an ID. I can go into bars. I can do it. Let me tell you something, what's in there. It's just a bunch of trouble, man. Heartache, trash, just heartache. Right, this guy comes along. He's going to do his own thing. He starts burning his kids in fire. You know what? I say this. There's guys out there right now. They're having kids with other girls and kids being raised, and they're being raised by different fathers, stepfathers, and different this and that, and the kids are bitter, and they're mad, and they're angry. That's why you see them on the street breaking stuff, tearing up stuff, looting things, burning down buildings. And I would have, if I wasn't saved, I'd been right in that mess. Same mess. I was doing that before. I was in that same stinking crowd, going out, burning out places, all that. I was doing that stuff. You see it on TV day in, day out. And it's not over a cop killing. It's not over that. It's just that they want to do something. They just want to do evil. And the Bible says his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burned incense in high places, on hills, under every green tree. This guy just could not stop doing what he was doing. He just wanted to have more and more. And then he ends up getting in a battle with Israel, which the ones that he thought in Syria, and they end up taking captive. Look what it says down there in verse 8. And the children of Israel carried away captive of the brethren 200,000 women, sons, daughters, and took away as much spoil with them and brought the spoil to Samaria. And then, but thank God for the old preacher man. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Obed, and he went out and before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in the rage that reached up into heaven. There's, you read your Bible, you come across that phrase, up to heaven. There's some times where things get up to heaven, God says, that's enough. It's so wicked. It's so bad. It comes up to heaven. There's prayers that reached up, they go up to heaven. But these things, sometimes you read through your Bible, you find this thing reached up to God. God says, that's it. Now you're supposed to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear ye, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. And certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, and Berechiah the son of Meshulam, and so on, stood up against them that came from the war and said unto them, ye shall not bring the captives hither, for whereas ye have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to your sins and to our trespasses. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So so then he goes on down. He said, our men left the captives and spoil before the princes and all the congregation, and the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives. Notice what he did. This is to his own brethren. This is to Jew, Jew fighting Jew. Just like the Civil War, same thing. It was a civil war. And and clothed all that were naked among them and arrayed them and shot at them and gave them eat and so on. So this guy was a wicked king. And look on down to verse 19. And the Lord brought Judah low because of Azariah, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And as verse 21, Azariah took away the portion of the house of the Lord out of the house of the king of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. In the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more? I mean, this guy's in a straight fix, man. And he should have said, God, help me. I'm sorry. But in time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is the king Azariah, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the king of Assyria helped him, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him in all Israel. And Azariah gathered the vessels of the house of God, and I want you to see this, and cut it in pieces, the vessels of the house of God, and shut the doors of the house of the Lord. Since God didn't deliver him, and God didn't do what he wanted, the way he was going to do it, then he got mad, said, shut the doors of God's house. And the Bible says back over there, it says in 29, it talks about where he turned their backs. They turned their backs on God. And he shuts the door of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every several city of Judah, he made high places and burnt incense and so on. And then he has a son. He ends up dying, thank God. He dies. They buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulcher of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned instead. We'll get into Hezekiah next week. But I'll tell you what, Hezekiah did that which was right. Hezekiah, God, he cries out to God. God delivers an army of Sennacherib out of his hand. He kills 185,000 men in one night, And Hezekiah didn't fire a shot. Hezekiah got sick on the death, and he was going to die. He cried to God, and God healed him. This guy sought the Lord. And a man that seeks God, he's going to find favor. He's going to see some miracles in his life. But this Azariah, he just went further and further and further down. I've seen Christians go further and further and further down. They won't get right. In their distress, they even won't cry out to God. I don't know how many times I've done funerals of people that I preach a funeral. They got saved here, or they professed Jesus Christ, but they still would not get right. Folks, they just would not get right. And you look at their families. You look at the mess they left behind. And God have mercy. Only God can straighten it out. Only God. So this guy had a great heritage, and he had a son that was wise. His son was watching him, and he said, I don't have to follow my father's footsteps. I ain't going to follow that. I don't care. You know, like I said, my dad taught me a lot of wicked stuff, but my dad got saved after I did. And when my dad got saved, he apologized to me. And you said, where was it? Him and I ride in that old dump truck. That's why I keep that old dump truck. I got his. We're riding down the road. That's when Samson was with us in the truck one time, and he was smoking a cigar. And Samson said, Pop, that's bad. That's bad. And my father said, shut up, boy. Sit down. And he looked at me and said, I told you we shouldn't have brought that boy. And he put the cigar out the window. And I told him, I said, Dad, he ain't going to leave you alone until you get rid of that thing. Because I taught him when he was little, that's wrong. Smoke is bad. Drinking's bad. All that stuff's bad. And I will take papers because you said, where'd you get that from? I remember Jack Howell said his mama would do that because his father was a drunk. His father was smoking and all that stuff. And she would cut out papers out of cigarettes and liquor and all that stuff and rip it up in front of him and give him, and then he'd rip it up and throw it on the ground and stomp on it. And I was doing the same thing. I thought, that was telling pretty good to me. So I started teaching Samson that way. And he would say, Pop, that's bad. My father finally said, I told you we shouldn't have brought him. And I said, Dad, just get rid of it. So he put it out. He thought he put it out on the side of the truck. And he did this. And then he stuck it in his pocket. And then we were riding down the road, and Samson kept looking at him, staring at him. It reminded me of Colton when Colton he was looking at, and he's looking at him. And finally, my father goes, he kept saying, Pop up. And my father goes, what? And he said, your shirt's on fire. And they were. But I kept that old truck. We were riding in the room. And you say, where were we going? We were riding into the landfill. And my dad looked over at me and started crying. He was 70 then, 70, 71. And he looked over at me and he said, I'm sorry. I said, Dad, that's all right. He said, I'm sorry, boy. That's all he said. I'm sorry, boy. I'm sorry. That was enough for me. Amen. He didn't even have to say that. I forgave him a long time ago after I got saved. So Hezekiah didn't follow in his father's footsteps. You ain't got to follow if your father was bad. But if your father's good, you can follow in his footsteps. Amen. All right. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, come on.